Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Modern Creative Podcast, Season 4. I'm so excited for this new season and our episode number 2. I'm Diana, and I'm here with Joyce.
So today, what are we talking about? We're talking about a bunch of things, but basically what we no longer do in business in order to have balance. Balance. Air quotes around balance. But essentially, we're going to talk about what we don't do anymore and then how we kind of keep boundaries as well, boundaries in life and in business. So I guess first, we're just going to share like what we no longer do so that we can kind of have that hustle-free vibe that we're going for that we mentioned, that Diana mentioned in episode 1, where we're just like, no, I want a business that fits, you know, my current life stage. So I currently don't offer things that require me. Like I used to coach, business coach, and I used to coach calligraphers, and I don't do that anymore, especially because things like that or even online courses. And I was, Diana and I and Sheena, shout out, Crooked Calligraphy, we're actually talking about it this morning because I texted them a question where when you have automations for like courses and whatnot, there's actually a lot of back-end lift that is required, a lot of tech that you need to make sure is always working and is always converting. So I also don't do that anymore. And I used to when I had courses. Yeah, that's funny that I didn't mean to ask you that this morning, Diana, via text. But it's funny that that's the first thing that I mentioned I no longer do.
Yeah, it's exactly what we're talking about. I think, honestly, I don't know. To me, Joyce, you're more techy than I am. I am tech challenged. Let's just say that. Like, so tech challenged. I'm young. I should not be, but I am tech challenged. And I just thought, oh, because I'm not a great tech person, this exhausts me. But it sounds like it exhausts a lot of people, you know, because everyone sells evergreen funnels and tech things as if it's like, set it up and it's super easy. Like, it's hands-free. And it, you know what? In some ways it is, but I remember you posted something about it, Joyce, where you were like, nothing is truly passive income. And no. I really think that we should stop selling things like that because people will get into that passive income route and then be like, actually, this is soul sucking. I mean, this is me. I'm speaking from experience. So anyways, I think, you know, this is kind of what we're talking about, right? Like what we no longer do in a very honest perspective of like, hey, let's take out some of those marketing gimmicks and words that sound so amazing, but like, it is, right? But like, let's also talk about like what it actually requires. So that's what we're covering too.
Exactly what it requires. Like those things, once you set it up, you still have to maintain them. And so that's why I no longer do them in business. When I like burned my business to the ground and started this new product business, I deleted my email list, like thousands and thousands of people. I was just like, peace. Like, I think I sent an email like when I was still on maternity leave and I said, hey, I basically don't know what I'm going to be doing. And then I just like deleted the whole list. And now that I've started a new list with like less than 100 people on it now, because it just started, when I've been inviting people, I'm like, there's no automations on this. I'm not going to ask you, like, if you join, this is what you're getting. You're not going to like get into some funnel and all these automated emails. There's nothing wrong with these things, but I'm just like, I don't have the energy for it anymore. Will that change later? I don't know. But like right now, you're just getting emails from me like on the fly, like as like 5 minutes before you actually get them in your inbox is probably when I wrote them, and which is not how I was before. Mm-hmm. And then I also kind of no longer work on my business during work hours or work lunches, which is something that I used to do. I just basically can only work on my business when my daughter is sleeping, naps, or in the evenings. And if it is not then I just can't work on it. And that used to frustrate me sometimes. And I think it still does. And it's like, I don't know, tangent. It's kind of this mom thing. It's like, I feel guilty that I'm frustrated that she woke up from her nap early and I have to get this done. And so I'm learning how to deal with that. But also having just those times does help me keep a boundary. I'm interviewing for day jobs right now. And an interview I had last week, the person actually asked me about boundaries because that company is big on, you know, work-life balance. You're working remote. We don't want people to work like 60-hour weeks. Because you're not going to the office, like they don't know what you're working. And my answer to that was I actually have a natural boundary. It's my daughter. She needs dinner at 5. And so I'm not going to be able to work past 5 or whatnot. And they were fine with that answer. But it's funny. Yeah. Like I just no longer am able to squeeze in work. I no longer do that. And I'm trying to learn to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You summed it up. That's motherhood in a nutshell.
And then it's like she's in this phase right now. Like last thing about people, I know not everyone's a mom that's listening, but like she's in a phase right now where she's like copying us. And so like my husband was like, holy, we gotta watch out because she's copying us. And, you know, I don't want her to copy like I'm frustrated or something like that, you know. So it's been interesting. But anyway, so what do you no longer do, Diana?
I think a lot of these things were set because of motherhood, but I'm really thankful for it. But I will start with something that I set up before I had a kid. I haven't responded to emails in years. Like, I'm trying to think.
Who the hell am I emailing? who am I emailing when I say I'm emailing you? Like, who am I emailing?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I do write all my newsletter emails. So that is me. Like, when I sign Diana, that is from me. But I'm kind of talking more about like our inbox as a customer service inquiry, like sending proposals, answering, you know, questions, things like that. That is managed by our admin. And I think that is a must, in my opinion. You don't need to be the one to do the thing and answer. You know what I mean? It's like there's so much back and forth. And actually, you know, since we've already given, you know, Sheena shout out today, I'm going to add to that shout out because I thought the freebie that she has for pricing your calligraphy was an excellent freebie. I was like, yes, someone's talking about this. And she basically talks about like, let's say you charge $100 for a calligraphy project. So you think, oh, I'm making $50 an hour. But actually, if you're the one answering your emails or you're paying someone, that is a cost, whether it's with your time or with your dollars. So anyways, that's a separate conversation. But for me, that's not, I would pay someone to manage the inbox because there is a lot of back and forth and it is high touch in certain, you know, ways. If you are the face in your business, then I think it's even more important to have someone else manage your inbox to kind of be like a protective layer, because sometimes people can feel like a personal connection to you and ask for things that, you know, it's like you wouldn't ask your doctor like to give you a discount. You know what I mean? And that can be applied in all the most awkward ways that you could possibly imagine. Yeah. It happened. So I think it adds a buffer. And then also for my mental health.
Yeah.
And the second thing that I no longer do is eat lunch in my office because I love my office. And I've done, you know, I put a lot of effort and intentions of designing it. And I'm honestly, it's always a work in progress. But anyways, because of that, I want to kind of keep it. This is the space where I work. This is the space where I create. It's my safe haven. It's my woman's cave, you know? So anyways, because of that, I eat lunch in the kitchen because that's, or the dining table, whatever. And one of the perks of being able to work from home, my husband and I both work from home. So we try to take lunches together and I don't want to take lunch in the office. So I no longer do that. And then another one, this has been on my no longer list for years, like Joyce knows, but I no longer take small commission projects. And to be honest, like I never want to say never, like JB
and air quotes small, like that's relative, right? Like sure. Diana's small, it could be different from yours, so you know what your small is.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I don't want to set like hard rules. That's why I don't like the words like never or always, even though I'm sure I use it all the time.
I always use always. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like the added words, right? Anyways, yeah, I will only take them if it checks off one of the three or two, at least two of the three boxes, which is, does it pay well? Is this project exciting to me? And do I have the space for it and want to do it? So if it has to kind of at least check two, ideally three of those boxes, and I will only consider it during slow season. So it's really rare. So again, never say never, but I would say that is on my no longer list. And then I also no longer take on, this might be a little controversial, and I do not want to judge any moms who are doing this because I have literally done it. But for me personally, I no longer take on any sponsored content that requires my child. So for example, when Everett was really young, when he was under 1 year old, I would get a lot of companies that reach out to me like, oh, we have this thing that's really great for kids for this, or like, we are launching this, whatever, you know, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, there's a new mom. Like, I was super excited for the opportunity to involve my baby, because obviously he was like, literally took every minute of my day. So I was like, oh my gosh, if I can have an opportunity to invite him in and get him some free products or whatever, then yeah, that it worked for me at the time, right? And I felt like when he was a baby, he was my baby. Like, I still felt like we were one person. You know what I mean? But as he got older, I realized, oh my gosh, he is his own person. He has his own opinions. He has his own choices. You know, like, I want to give him that. And that means that I'm not going to say yes on behalf of him. You know what I mean? So again, I don't judge people who are doing this. And I, you know, it's seasonally, it changes and whatnot. But there was a quote that really like changed the way I look at everything. But it was basically like, if you don't have a product, then you are the product. And I just didn't want to make that decision for my kid.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to make that decision for myself, then that's different. But I no longer do that for my child.
Yeah. If he's like, he wants to do it later, like whatever, that's something you discuss, but not right now.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Can I ask, kind of touching back on sponsored posts too, and what you said about emails, so you have two Instagram accounts. There was a time there where it was just Chasing Linen, and if you've been a longtime follower of Diana, and then she branched off. And like, I'm kind of thinking of doing the same now that I have a product-based business, just to have that be like really curated and intentional, and then just have my current one just be like, whatever, Joyce is a mess. So do you manage your own Instagram, or do you no longer do that?
My personal one, I manage
both of them.
Yes. Okay. So Chasing Linen is popping off right now because we hired a social media manager. It has been growing. My personal Instagram has not been growing because I'm.
Yeah. 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 And I want the name of the manager after this, honestly, because I don't have the space to do that. Like, I have ideas, but I don't have the brain space to do that. I need someone to do it for me.
Yeah. I asked her what she is, and she told me she's a zillennial. I think that's what they call it. Like a millennial, like in between millennial. So it's kind of nice because like as a millennial, she gets me. But as a Gen Z, like right in between, she is very techie.
Okay.
And just like she does this for her own. Like this is what she does. You know, some people just do that. Like, I don't know how to explain. Like,
where did you find this magical unicorn zillennial?
I know. I knew her a long time ago at
church. Okay.
She served as her like small group leader and whatnot, which is so crazy. So when she applied, I didn't know that. I didn't know that that's who she was.
Yeah.
Got on a Zoom call and I was like, wait a minute, Hannah, is that you? And she's like, that's me. I didn't know if you remembered me. I was like, wait, this is crazy. So anyways, it was the unicorn situation. But yeah, she's really, I mean, honestly, that role now I think is irreplaceable because, again, like, I don't even like managing one social media account, let alone two. So yeah, that's. If you don't
so
like,
you've put a boundary on that. She does the chasing linen in the business. I need her info later. Whoever's listening, if you're a millennial, like I need to build that out.
But yeah, I can totally see Only Boldly having its own account for sure.
Yeah, it needs to. Sorry, this is just whoever's listening. This is what we talk about. This turns into like a phone call. So I'm like, well, like, Diana, do you do this? Should I do that? Can you give me your info?
Well, the podcast was branched off from our organic phone calls.
Yeah. So here we go. Joyce is in need of a social media manager. Diana is going to see if her person is hiring. Anyway, boundaries. I love your boundaries. And I hope to whoever's listening, like, I know that we have mentioned our kids, but I feel like these boundaries are things that you can put in place, or these are things you can say no to regardless if you have children or not. You know, we are in the season, like I mentioned before, of just like trying to have like an easy, air quotes again, easy business. And this is what we're doing in order to achieve that. So, you know, we have to keep those boundaries right? And how do we do that? I mentioned earlier that I am, you know, currently in the process of applying for new jobs for my day job, and how my daughter naturally just, she keeps those boundaries. And it is making me more relaxed when before I would just be super, super rigid. But that is kind of what naturally helped with me. Just knowing like I have a very short window to do things, and that helps me prioritize things.
Yeah.
And if I cannot say you're a priority and I cannot do that in 90 minute sprints, then I cannot do it, you know? So having limited time really makes you think about what is important to you. And what is that law called where someone will tell us, but like basically you have all these things to do and a short amount of time, and like you'll do it all if it's like important. There's like a name for that. I'll look it up. My brain doesn't work anymore because I'm only like a year postpartum. I hear that it gets better from here. But there's like a law or whatever for that. Like you're going to accomplish everything you need to accomplish when you have a short amount of time. So that's what I'm going with. And then the other thing, kind of touching back on how Diana hired out and how I'm looking to hire out, I also did a lot of hiring on Fiverr for my product when I could have done it for myself, and I would have done it for myself in the past. So like creating infographics on Amazon, when you swipe through images, you know, there's like copy over your images when you're, you know, shopping. Those are infographics. So I hired out for that. I hired out for SEO research. I also have a new website, which I've always built on Squarespace, and I moved over to Shopify because it is more powerful for e-commerce. It's just a lot more flexible. And I was like, whoa, I got to learn this whole new thing. I've been on Shopify or Squarespace since 2016. So I just bought a template off Creative Market, and then I hired someone on Fiverr to put that template in and then to customize that template to my brand. So that was like a lot of shortcuts for me, and yes, paying out of pocket, but also I would have never done it myself. Like I just don't have the time. And so that's kind of how I like to keep boundaries, is outsourcing what I can.
Isn't that interesting, Joyce? Because when you started your business, you know, wow, I am like completely blanking off on what
you're— Oh my God, does the mom brain not ever get better? Like what the hell? You're 3 years out.
Well, but like now I think of you as Joyce Christine, but I'm trying to think of like when we, Right Pretty Things.
Right, that's Pretty Things. There you
go. See, it just took me a little bit. It took me.
Right Pretty Things. That was like my, where I would just share my calligraphy practice. And I like, it was cool and all, but like I never would use the word Pretty Things. Like I curse more than Sheena in real life. So I don't know. But like, yeah.
When you started Right Pretty Things, you didn't outsource all these things. You know what I mean? Like you probably did a lot of it, especially in the
beginning. My first website. Oh my God, my first website is so hideous. Right? My first Write Pretty Things. I took screenshots of it. And then I started to hire out like proper branding people.
Sure. But yeah. But you did it once you made money, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's interesting about only, like, I'm actually like fascinated by this because I'm like, well, for me, Write Pretty Things for you is my Chasing Linen, but I still have Chasing Linen, right? I'm hiring out now because I am profitable, you know, but it's interesting how you just started your Amazon product and you like hired out immediately. So I think it's really fascinating to me, like the mindset shift that you might not even know. And it may have happened because of life stage or age or your past experience as a business owner or becoming a mom or all of the above. But I just think that's really interesting. So yeah, that's just something to know, because if people are listening, they're like, I don't have the funds to outsource like you guys. Just know that like we've literally done both. Like we've done the DIY, do everything yourself, and also hired out. So I just wanted to like put it out there.
Yeah. And for me, it's everything that you said on the above. And like think like you guys, I'm at zero. I make zero money in my business at the time of this recording because I literally just launched it. So yeah. I am negative because I paid for these things. And when you, I've only been in digital things. And so there's not a lot of money, if any, up front. And there's a lot of money up front with products. So, and I'll be transparent with that on my Instagram and in my newsletters or whatever. But yeah, I'm negative, but I needed to hire out in order to launch it so that I could start making money and selling it.
Yeah. Well, most businesses are negative to zero for like the first 3 years. It's like very... Yeah. Some businesses, I mean, like Uber, like they're still in the negative. They're still waiting to make money. You know what I mean? So I don't think that it's, I think we should like normalize that. That's all I'm
saying. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm excited to like be transparent about numbers on my newsletter, actually. Cause this whole, I'm starting from scratch. So it's like, hey, let's just go through this whole journey together.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is boss. So, so my three boundaries. So I want to echo what Joy said. For me, my family is my number one priority. So right now, Everett goes to my son, my 3-year-old, 3.5-year-old, going on to 4.
Woo!
Is going to preschool from 9 to 2, which sounds like, oh, that's plenty of time. But, you know, you have to pick up, drop off, make your lunch, you know, and I also try to get some chores and run errands during those hours too. So I definitely don't utilize 9 to 2 every single day, you know, or week. There's definitely times that I do. But anyways, that's kind of the general design of my working schedule. And then on Fridays, I'm really strict with it. I don't work on Fridays, and we go out for field trip Fridays. And we both really look forward to that. And so anyways, that's kind of my schedule with like boundaries time-wise. And that has changed over the years, you know, as he has grown. So yeah,
but also as your business has grown and you started to get steady income, right? Like, y'all forgive us if you're not moms, like it happens naturally. We're going to talk about our kids, but I also wanted to highlight those that maybe don't have kids. Like, you've been in business for years, Diana. And so I feel like even if you didn't have Everett, you would still be able to have these shortened hours now.
Yeah.
Because you've built a foundation for your business.
For sure. 100%. Yep. And, you know, I think I just had more hustle when I was younger, you know,
I don't have the energy to do anything.
Yeah,
I do not. So yeah, definitely that too.
Yeah. And then as far as work opportunities, I learned this from a girl in my mastermind who is like the queen of setting boundaries. And I really admire that about her. But she was like, you know, when you get to a certain level of success in your business, you want to set your like do not list. You know, because in the beginning, you say yes to everything. You have so many things to do. But yeah, one of the things that she said was like limiting travels for your business. So right now, I try to take 1 work trip per quarter. This is like work trip as in like one that requires me on a plane, right? So if I need to travel for an event, then I will take 1 work trip per quarter. So I say this, but again, going back to my never say never rule, like sometimes I have to break those rules, right? So literally this past month in September was our super busy month. So I was traveling a lot. So it's different, but I would say if I'm looking at it like at a year, I'm like, okay, yeah, generally I stuck to that rule for the most part. So yeah, that's kind of that. And when I kind of look at it big picture, I was able to see like, oh, I actually already hit that limit. So I was going to actually go back to California 1 more time this year. But when I looked at it, I was like, nope, I'm going to stick with my boundaries. I can always go next year. So that's kind of how I set my boundaries. Whereas before, I would be like, yeah, let's travel. And then I would burn myself out. And then I would get all these health issues and, you know, skin issues. It was just like, no, I just can't do that anymore.
Come to Colorado. Okay, I'm just... That's being selfish.
I mean, we have family there too, so
Sheena, shout out, you also come to Colorado. Okay.
And then finally, this is like my number one tip, and if I know it's a luxury and a whatever, but I did want to say the 1 boundary / outsourcing we've done this past year that has been life-changing is getting a house cleaner. And I will say my husband and I both work from home. I mostly cook like 3 meals a day, so it's like, and then we have some like diet restrictions in our family and whatever. So it just requires more cooking. And then we do life at home. We rest at home, right? So it's really important to keep our house as clean and tidy as possible just for like our mental well-being. So we have someone coming in twice a month. So it's not like that often. So every other week once, you know, so twice a month to deep clean the whole house. So yeah, they do like not only the vacuuming and wiping, but also like scrubbing the shower, cleaning the toilets, like all the things. And of course, there's some like in between management, like vacuuming here and there. But like overall, I'm like, if I don't need to like it already, like laundry and dishes already, I already have a lot.
It's a mental load off of you that you can like, use.
Oh my gosh. You have no idea. Like it's been 100% worth it for us. And I don't think it's even that expensive. I think we pay like $150. per time. So 300 a month, 100% worth it. And we have, I mean, I'm not going to share exactly because it's, to me, outrageous. But like moving from California to Tennessee, our
Big old house, you guys. I'll tell you that. She got a big house.
Square footage doubled. So it was like, I will pay $300 a month to clean our house, please. You know?
For the benefits of like, okay, now I can use that time with my family. Or I during every single day, like, don't you in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, I have to clean this and do that. You're already making this list of things to do on top of work stuff and business stuff. So at least this way, it's like you don't have to just make that mental list anymore.
For sure. Yeah. I kind of like think about it like having a cleaner for my office. Like, let's say I had a work office separately. Like, I'm like, oh, I have someone who's like tidying up the office, you know, like twice a month. Worth it. So.
Yeah.
Joyce, you want to kind of round out our final tips for keeping boundaries in your business?
Yeah, we shared our experiences and what we're no longer doing, what we are doing. But we also wanted to leave you guys with some tips that we came up with for keeping boundaries in your business. So first of all, you know, set your business working hours, whatever that is for you. Diana shared hers are about 9 to 2. That's not all business. Like, she does squeeze in like life stuff during that time. But just what are those hours in your day where you're going to allow yourself to work on things versus relax? And maybe that's already set for you. Like, maybe you have a day job. And so your business hours then are, you know, after dinner or something. Set those if you don't want to be working until like 1 a.m., for example. Another thing is to block your calendar, like literally go into Google Calendar and put like busy or write out in your calendar like when you're going to tackle certain things. I've always found that helpful, even with day job stuff. I would like block it out. I would list out what I'm working on so some salesperson can like book me for a meeting or something. And then the other thing is to set away messages for your work email. And you've probably received this before where you email someone like in the business space or the creative space, and then you get the email back like, hey, we've gotten your email. We're going to reply in X amount of days. Here's some helpful links or other ways to reach out if it is an emergency. If you are getting like inundated with emails in your inbox and you don't maybe have someone who can manage it for you yet, that can be a helpful way to manage expectations with whoever is emailing you. Diana, what other tips do you have?
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I really believe in not work-life balance, but maybe like work-life awareness, if that makes sense. Like, there's going to be seasons in life where your work might require more of you. Like, I remember I went to a conference and the keynote speaker, I think it was Christy Wright, she was having a book launch and she said that she's like, right now, it's just three kids, by the way, three little kids. And she's always talking about, you know, prioritizing her kids and family. But she was on stage and she said, right now, my book is my number one. That's right. My book is my number one above my kids. And my husband knows that. I've designed my current work and like I've created support around this book launch because the book launch is like a limited amount of time, right? And it's like, that's cool. I like that. So we're not saying like, oh, like, don't, like, I do think your work is going to require some of your time. I think that's important. But I think it's like creating those flexible setups and support and network around that season of your life. So, yeah. And shameless plug, actually, technically not shameless because it's not me, but Joyce.
My eyebrows went up. She said, shameless plug, and you can't see a video. My eyebrows went up. Like, what's she talking about?
Have been enjoying. I've only had this for a few days now, but I've really been enjoying Joyce's Only Boldly desktop, like weekly planners.
Oh, my weekly planner pad. Yes, we will leave links in the bio.
Honestly, I'm not even joking. Like, it's really helpful because I do have, you know, I use Google Calendar, I use Asana. So it's not that it's not going to replace those things, right? However, I think I like to jot things down with like my hands. And I shared this before, but I use this thing called the Roosevelt method. I've shared this many times, but it's the 4-square Roosevelt method where you fold the paper in half and then again in half again. And you put things into buckets. Like, the first bucket would be urgent and important. Second bucket is not urgent, but important. Third bucket is urgent, but not important. And the last bucket is not urgent and not important. Wow, that was really hard to say. However, I feel like having this desk pad, like this weekly desk pad, like notebook, has kind of eliminated me from having to do that. So I feel like that's a really great way to also keep boundaries as well and have an overview, you know, of your week coming up and your priorities.
I did not ask her to talk about my product, but she did because she genuinely likes it. So we'll link it in the show notes. All right, what are our other tips here? Yeah, you want to go, Diana?
Yeah, I think I've talked about this before, but well, one, I would have some sort of like an online platform where you can check things off. Like I use Asana, for example, for both my business and personal things like grocery shopping and all of those things as well. But then I have a separate, so like Asana, I think of it more like I need to get these things done. Mm-hmm. However, throughout the day, I mean, like so often I have like ideas pop up. So I have a separate bucket for them. And I think I shared this before, but it's called the Disney drawer. We can have like a more in-depth podcast episode about it if we want, but that's where all my ideas go. And I visit them.
Yeah.
You know, I visit them once a month, but I really look at it on a quarterly basis.
Yeah, I think that should be a separate episode so we can dive into like what that looks like. All right. And then to just kind of round out our other tips for you, you know, we've talked about delegating things in various ways. Fiverr, Diana has people that are her admin or social media. If there's something that you can delegate, and trust me, there is something you can delegate, you should look into that. And then I think the last thing with tips for keeping your boundaries is really to know your limits. That's something that we're talking about this whole season on the podcast. Know your limits. Be honest with where you are in your current life stage. And then hopefully you eliminate any frustration that may come where if you're unable to do things when in the past you were able to do things, you know, kind of accepting your limits will help you focus instead and prioritize. So that's it, everybody. That's kind of what we no longer do in our business and how we keep boundaries. And I hope that that was helpful for you. We'd love to keep the discussion going. So if you have any questions or thoughts, please let us know at Modern Creative Podcast over on Instagram. Or is it Modern Creative Pod? Just search Modern Creative Podcast and it'll come up. Or Diana and I will come up as well. We'll leave all the links to everything we mentioned in the show notes and we'll catch you in the next episode. Thanks. Bye.